It's awesome. I am so excited about tonight, guys, because we're gonna depart for just a little bit. I'll read one scripture from Galatians just so that it sounds legitimate, but do what? So it sounds legitimate. Actually, it is kind of part of it, but the Lord just kind of took me in a whole direction, different direction today. He never does that. He does that all the time, right? And so I'm just telling you, he's just been downloading stuff. And so it's going to be really, really helpful tonight. So anyway, just to get a couple of announcements out of the way, just a reminder that we're in our second week of our small groups for our fall semester. And so it's not too late to be a part. You can go to the website. And there's information about how to register, where they all are, and we have some great ones tomorrow night. Jennifer and I will start our second week here, back in our office, 7 o'clock on healing. We're doing a small group on healing. Speaking of healing, which actually I'll be talking about some tonight, Friday night and Saturday, I'm part of a Healing and Freedom Conference at Camp Meadowbrook in Coleman with a number of other pastors that are friends of mine. So that starts Saturday night at, I think, 5 or 7 o'clock. I don't remember which. And then there's just back-to-back on Saturday, just teachers. That's just teaching. It's just to immerse yourself in the Word concerning healing. And it's going to be awesome. A lot of these guys are just good friends of mine. And so I'm just honored to be a part of it. And so you can go to our website there, and that will give you a link to the registration page. It's free, and food will be provided and all of that. And so if you don't have anything to do Friday and Saturday and just want to immerse yourself in the message of healing, then this is a great place at Camp Meadowbrook. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be nice. It's going to be awesome.
It's on Facebook.
And it's on Facebook, too, apparently. So that's so you can find information on that. And so that's it. I think that's all the announcements I have to make. So turn with me to Galatians. And we'll get the official part out of the way, and then we'll start into where the Lord has for me to go. No, we can use this as a jumping off point. Galatians in chapter 5. We are in part of the most exciting part of Galatians to me, because we spent chapters 1 through 4 and the first part of 5 kind of getting this whole thing of, you can watch me on live stream as well as listen to me. It doesn't make, I know, it's okay. So, you know, he spent all of this time making this distinction between righteousness that comes out of your works and what you do, and you trying to make yourself feel good and get to a place of you know, forgetting the thoughts of inadequacy, and I can't do this and I can't do that, but moving to a place of acceptance and actually learning what faith in Christ and His finished work, what it means, and the only thing that we receive from God is through faith. And that's what's so exciting about it. And so now, what he does is, now that he's laid this long foundation, he begins to talk about what your life is like now. Okay, now once you've dealt with all of that, what does it mean? What is the life in the Spirit? So right here in chapter 5, verse 13, he says, for brothers, you have been called to liberty. That's your calling. You're called to freedom. You're called to liberty. Only, don't use that liberty for an occasion to your flesh. Now, we'll get into this, Lord willing. I'm going to start saying Lord willing instead of just telling you definitively what we're going to be talking about. But we're going to try to start getting into this next Wednesday, what it means about what is freedom? What is liberty? Because there are some that are on the grace side, you know, and I'm a grace guy. You guys know it's all about the grace of God. But what they have done is they've done exactly the opposite of what the scripture says. They've taken their liberty for an occasion of the flesh. Oh, since I'm under grace and since I'm under this, I can do this and this and this and this. And it's okay if I cuss, and it's okay if I, you know, and they just go kind of hog wild in this other direction. In other words, all the stuff that they wished that they could do when they were under legalism, they started doing when they find out about grace. And that's not what grace is for. That's not what it's about. It's about the new nature, and it's about the opportunity. Oh, get this. It's about the opportunity to live out of the Spirit, which is way more better than just being able to do everything I want to do according to the flesh anyway. And so he begins to start talking now not about works of the law and righteousness versus living by faith. Now we're starting to talk about the walk of the Spirit versus being led by the flesh. Okay? And so there's a distinction now. We've shifted gears a little bit. And he says, so don't use it for an occasion of the flesh, but your liberty is to be used to serve, or by love to serve one another. This has revolutionized mine and Jennifer's life. Just this one concept that we're not here on this earth for us. And that the gospel isn't about me. That once I receive Jesus, that I died, Christ comes alive, and now I can let him live his life through me, which means I get to start thinking about other people, because guess what? Jesus is going after the lost sheep. Jesus is going after hurting people. Jesus, and so his nature begins to consume me. Just like doing the will of the Father consumed him, now doing his will consumes me because his nature is living in and through me. So we don't get to dominate each other. We get to serve each other. It's a different mindset. It's not about climbing the ladder of success in churches and the hierarchy. And can I get into the inner circle? And can I get to this point? And can I get on stage? And now it's about how can I serve others? And it changes the heart. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I'm just going to skip to verse 16. We'll get back into this next week. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, isn't it interesting? He didn't start out by saying, don't do this so that you can walk in the Spirit. He didn't start out by saying, do not. He said, you walk in the Spirit. If you walk according to the Spirit and after the Spirit, then you won't have to worry about fulfilling fleshly desires. See, where's your focus? Your focus is on Jesus. Your focus is on the Spirit. Your focus isn't on what you're trying to stop doing. Your focus is not on what you're trying to stop doing. Man, I wish I'd stop eating this. I wish I'd stop doing this. I wish I'd stop smoking. Your focus isn't on that. Your focus is on your walk in the Spirit. These are the things we're going to get into. Skip all the way down to verse 25. And it says this, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen. So we see here, we're seeing two things being described, living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. What is he describing here? I mean, it's like, I thought that was the same thing. No, it's not. What he's talking about is your state. And then he's talking about you now living out of that state.
That's right.
Okay? The Bible says over in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that you have been dead, buried, but you were raised up together. He raised us up together with Christ. And he made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That actually is the state that you live in right now in the Spirit, that you are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And the best, and you say, well, I don't feel that way. Well, it don't matter what you feel. Let me ask you this question. How many of you, not so far tonight, but maybe Sunday morning or at another message, you zoned out during my teaching? Can I have an honest? And the rest of you just lying.
You want me to point them out?
Yeah, yeah. At some point, you thought about, what am I going to eat? At some point, you thought, man, he sure is going a little long this morning. Right? I'm getting really hungry. And so you stop thinking about, you know, what was going on here. And so what we'd say, you know, have you ever looked at your kids or wives? Have you ever looked at your husband and said, where are you right now? Like, you're not even listening to what I'm saying. You're in it. You are zoned out. You are in another place. And so really what we're seeing is just in the natural, you can be physically sitting in a chair, but your mind is somewhere else. Okay, well, you can be physically sitting in this chair, but the truth is your spirit is actually sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you can be in three places at once. Your spirit can be in heavenly places. Your mind can be on something else, on the vacation that you're going, and your body can be sitting right here. We're a three-part being. So he's describing actually what's going on in your spirit, man. You're actually living in the spirit. So when he says here, if we live in the spirit, and the indication there is that's where we live. That's our habitation. That's our dwelling place. We live in the spirit. Then let us also now in our life here in the earth, in our soul and in our body, let us now walk out where we live. First John says it this way, says that he that confesses Jesus or whatever, it's something to the effect, it says he ought to also walk even as, no, it says it this way. If we say that we abide in him, then we ought to walk just as he walked. In other words, the truth is we live in him. So that should be reflected in the way that we live out our life. He's living out of our life, see? Okay, so we live in the Spirit, but now let us also walk in the Spirit. So I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about this part, about walking and living out of the Spirit. A question was asked me today that really prompted just this whole process of thinking and praying this afternoon. So I want to deal with healing tonight. And not just healing just from a scriptural perspective and saying, well, by his stripes you are healed and the word says this and the word says this. But I want to talk about process for just a little bit tonight. I want to talk about process because what do you do with, how do you walk out the process of healing if you've been diagnosed with a disease? How do you really walk this out if they diagnose you with, you know, and they say it's hereditary? You know, and we have, and I use them as well. We have great, nice little Christian catchphrases that we love to say and that gets us all excited. For instance, things like, well, you know, you're not of the old bloodline. You're now of Jesus's bloodline. And so you're part of a different family and you don't have that. And that's all well and that's all true. And we're talking about spiritual truths. But how many of you know that the day that you got born again, that your blood type is the same as it was before you got born again? You didn't go from an A positive to a B negative. You're still an A positive. How many of you know that if you were overweight before you got born again, that the day you made Jesus the Lord of your life, you looked in the mirror and you looked the same? How many of you know that if you didn't have hair before you got born again, you looked in the mirror and you still didn't have no hair? See? So, and let's take it to a soulish level. How many of you know that if you had anger issues and real, you know, anger issues, whatever, you know, issues with depression, things like that, that maybe you weren't immediately transformed. Maybe you still got mad at the kids. Maybe you still got mad at your husband. Maybe you still got mad at your wife. Maybe you still had that soulless, you lived your life that way. If you had feelings of inadequacy or feelings of depression or feelings of I'm not good enough, you know, maybe it's not a physical thing. Maybe it's a characteristic that your wife says, you're acting just like your father. Or you think, I'm acting like my father. Or how do you deal with children that maybe, you know, they were born with a disease, or they were born, you know, in such a way that they're having to deal with a disability or something like that. And how do we deal with healing about those things? See? So I want to talk about all of that. All of that applies to us in some way or another, whether it's, you know, characteristics and traits that are undesirable that have been handed down from our parents, hereditary illnesses or diseases that have been handed down from our parents, or dealing with our children or whatever that is. So I want to talk to you about the process of that and how the Spirit of God works, how to live out the Spirit of God with regard to these things. Okay? So I'm just really excited about this. It's going to be awesome. So just some really good practical things. First of all, let's take it from this standpoint. First of all, recognize that through one man's offense, Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, through one man's offense, sin entered into the world, and death as a result of sin, and death passed on all men because all have sinned. And so we recognize, first of all, that bad things that happen to people, whether it's sickness, whether born with a disease, born with a hereditary problem, whatever, all of that is a result of the fall of man that happened in the garden. That's a result of sin. That's a result of sickness is a result of all of those things. And so we live in a fallen world. And so the course of the world, the Bible talks about the course of the world. Humanity was set on a downward spiral because of sin and disease into the earth. And so, you know, it's not about trying to find out what caused this, why did this happen, or any of that stuff. We live in a fallen world. Okay? And stuff will happen, you know, and maybe you didn't intend for it, maybe you didn't pray for it, but if you find yourself in a situation where you're having to deal with something that came as a result, it was handed down, or whether it was the way that you were born, or whatever that is, don't start trying to find, did God allow this? Did God want this to happen? No, the answer is absolutely not. That was never God's original intent for man. From the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image." And so he always wanted man to be in his image, experiencing his life and experiencing everything that he had. Okay? And so Adam and Eve, they had it made until they ate out of the tree. And then they didn't have just knowledge of good. They had knowledge of good and evil. And so what happened is when their spirits died, they're born again. I mean, not they're born again, but their spirit, that part of God that was in them, that they were connected to God as he had breathed his life into them. When they experienced separation from God, that was spiritual death. And then they just became natural people living out of their soul, living out of their flesh, and had no freedom from sin, no freedom from death. And so what happened is into man's DNA, it got passed down and passed down and passed down until sicknesses and all of these kinds of things just started working its way into the blood and into humanity. But Jesus came to redeem us from all of that. Amen. Jesus came to set us free from all of that. Jesus came, get this, not just to forgive us of our sin, not just to set us free from our sin, but Jesus came to give us or to make us part of a new family. Amen. Jesus came so that we would be born again. And so the question now isn't a question of what is being handed down from my father and my mother and from my grandfather and my grandmother. The question now is, I'm part of a different family. And we talk about those things. I'm now part of God's family. But how do I let what is true in my spirit man? I'm going to stay away from that speaker. I'm living in the spirit. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But how do I allow that truth to work its way into my soul, my emotions, my mind, my will? And how do I allow it to also work its way into my body?
Amen.
And to change what was handed down from my parents and my grandparents. And how do we do that? Jesus, get this, Jesus, every person that was sick, that came to Jesus looking for healing, when he came in contact with the Creator, life was changed. Sickness had to go. Restoration happened. Do you realize that Jesus didn't just heal back pain and headaches and, you know, the things that we love when that happens, but he also healed people that were missing fingers and people that were missing, like he restored missing stuff.
Yeah.
The Bible says that he healed the halt, the lame, and the maimed. And the maimed are those that are missing stuff, people that had leprosy. Leprosy ate stuff off your nose and your fingers and all kinds of stuff. And so when the leper came to Jesus and said, if you will, you can make me clean. Jesus instantly said, I will. But not only did he say, I will, he immediately reached forth his hand and he touched the contagious leper. You think Jesus was concerned about that? No. The life, listen, get this, the life that was in Jesus was more powerful than the death that was working in the man with leprosy.
Amen.
In other words, the life that was in him, the Bible says the life that was in him is the light of men, but that life had an effect. It flowed from him. The power of God flowed from him. And so there was no sickness, no disease, no contagious disease that could stand in his presence. Every person that came to him got healed. Now, I said that God's original intent for us was that we would be made and created in the image of God. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Let's go to verse 17 and then we'll read that in verse 18 together. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. And we just talked about freedom and we just talked about liberty. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit. And he's talking about Jesus. Looking at Jesus. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, here it is again, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, hear me, there is freedom. There is liberty. Not that there will be freedom, that there will be liberty and you'll get there one day, but where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty right now. There is freedom right now. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Where is the Spirit of the Lord?
Amen.
He's in me. I mean, we could say, well, the Spirit of the Lord is in this place, and so we are a free church. And no, where's the Spirit of the Lord? It's in you.
Amen.
Which means that there is freedom and there is liberty flowing in you right now. And so he goes on here at verse 18, and he says, but we all, with open face now, beholding as in a glass, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into that same image from glory to glory. But how are we changed? By the Spirit of the Lord. By the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I love this. Listen, I'm getting so excited. Keep that in mind. Turn with me over to John chapter 7. In John chapter 7. And I just, man, something was working on the inside of Jesus that he couldn't contain it. He couldn't stand it. He wasn't even preaching. He wasn't even teaching. But something got on him. I mean, like sometimes something gets on Jeff Thomas over here. Something got on him, I'm telling you. In a moment, it says in verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and just cried. I mean, he's just, everybody's minding their own business. He's there in the last feast, there at the temple, and he just stood up and just cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, man. And he was done. That's it. No explanation. No teaching. Just an unction of the Holy Ghost to declare something. But this he spake of the Spirit, verse 39. So he's talking about the Spirit of God, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So he's talking about the Spirit of God. Now, what so far with Galatians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, what are we talking about here? We're talking about living life in the Spirit, walking that out, but that we are changed. First of all, there's liberty and there's freedom. There's freedom. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. I'm laying a foundation here. This is this I hope will be kind of for some people a go-to teaching if people are wondering, how do I deal with these things in my life? How do I walk out my healing? In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, Jesus found the place where it was written concerning him in Isaiah, the Spirit, and he said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So again, we're talking about the Spirit of God, aren't we? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. So the Spirit on Jesus did what? Caused what? Or empowered him to do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So the Spirit of God is there to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at, and here it is again, to set at liberty them that are bruised, them that are hurt, them that are captive, them that are oppressed, them that the Spirit of the Lord is there to set them free, but to preach freedom. So again, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You're not trying to get free. You are free. You're not trying to become something. You are something. You are a son of God. See, the prison doors have already been opened. You are now free from sin. You're now free from hereditary disease. You're now free from sickness. You're now free from all of these things because of what Jesus has done. He took your judgment. He took your sin. He took your oppression. He took your depression. He took your sickness. He took it all on himself. He tasted death for every man, Hebrews 2 says, so that we wouldn't have to experience that. And then he turned right around and gave us his life. Out of your belly will flow what? Rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. All right, now, so how does this work? How does this work? How do we now take what we know is spiritually true concerning our reality in Christ? Because we can sit here and talk about these good things. Yes, I'm righteous. Yes, I'm holy. Yes, I'm healed. Yes, I'm a son. Yes, I'm a daughter. Woohoo! And we can dance and we can shout and all of that. But how does it work its way out into my body? See. Well, let's look at some examples with Jesus. All right, turn with me over to John chapter 2 and verse 1. The third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called or invited and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, or when they were out of wine, basically, the mother of Jesus said unto them, they don't have any wine. And so Jesus said to her, woman, really what he's saying is, what does that have to do with me? My hour is not yet come. In other words, Jesus did not go to this wedding expecting to turn water into wine. That was not on his day planner for the day. That was not on his Google calendar for the day. He was just going because they were invited to a wedding. And so so what's interesting is his mother, when she saw the need, she went to Jesus. When you have a need, go to Jesus. Don't try to fix it on your own. Go to him first. And so, Mary, you got to love this. Mary, I mean, she didn't even talk. Like, this is the Son of God, right? If it was me, I'd say, oh, okay, I'm so sorry. I must have just missed it here. That wasn't her response at all. She was his mama. And she knew some stuff. And so, you know, so he's like, woman, what does that have to do with me? And so you know what her response was? Hey, whatever he says, dude, just do it. He walked off. Just kind of left him there. I mean, you know, we don't see that side sometimes because we've got this picture of Jesus just always perfect and holy. And he was perfect and holy. But you know what he also did was mama said to do. He was also an obedient child. And he honored his father and his mother. So they set there 6 water pots of stone, and they were full of water and all of that. So, I mean, and Jesus said to them, verse 7, fill the water pots with water. So they filled it up to the brim. And then he said, so draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they did that. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not from where it came, he called the bridegroom and said, every man at the beginning sets forth the good wine, and when men have well drunk, that which is worse. But now you've kept the best wine or the good wine until now. And that was the beginning of miracles that Jesus did. What I want you to see out of this is that Jesus, even water, had to, whatever that chemical makeup, get this, guys, as we start talking about your DNA, as we talk about what's happening in your flesh, the chemical makeup of that water, when the Creator touched it, and he didn't lay hands on it, but when he spoke over it, when the Spirit of God was involved. Remember how at the very beginning of creation it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water? It was waiting for the Word to go forth for it to give action to, see? Now the Spirit of God is there and it's involved all of a sudden, and the chemical makeup of whatever was in that water pot shifted and changed into wine. And so you have a molecular change that took place. And so you're telling me that he can't change your DNA? That he can't heal defects in your DNA? That he can't make whole something that's going on in your blood? When he took water and turned it completely into another substance. Check out, let's go while we're in John, let's go over to chapter 9. Here's a man that was blind from birth. And so Jesus had to do the works of the Father, that God would get glory. God did not get glory out of the man being blind. God got glory when the man was healed. And so Jesus answered in verse 3, said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. Jesus was not interested in the cause of the sickness. He knew that this man being born blind, the reason he was born this way was because of humanity, sin, sickness, what happens and stuff just happened, that he was just born this way, but not for God doing it. But he says this, he says, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, And he says, I must work the works of him that sent me. So what was the work of God in him? Not that he was born blind.
That's right.
He said, I got to work the works of him that sent me. What's the works of God? To heal the blind. Got to be very clear and distinct about this. So Jesus always looked at sickness as an opportunity for God to get glory when he worked the works of God in the sickness. So he didn't care about the reason why the man was born blind. He wasn't passing judgment, and he wasn't trying to say, okay, because of this, but now he's just working the works of God. And when he had thus spoken, verse 6, he spat on the ground. He made clay from the spit. He anointed or smeared the eyes of the blind man with clay. I'm trying to imagine if I was the blind man for a moment. And here's this man, and I just hear, like, I wonder what that's about. And then all of a sudden, this wet, muddy substance hits my eyes. And what does he tell me? He says, go. And I love this. I mean, Jesus says, so go and wash in the pool of Siloam. The guy was blind. How's he going to get there? The guy could have said, you know what? I'm just going, you know, let me just go ahead and wipe this off a little bit. But he did exactly what Jesus said to do. And he went, and when he did, had total sight, vision restored. He did not even know who it was that healed him, as you read later in the story. Okay, so what happened here? What's so special about the mud? Do we need to start putting a box of mud up here and let's all spit and smear? Yeah, I think all of a sudden the church would empty out pretty quick. But what happened here? What's the deal? Look, again, creative power. Man was made originally from the dust of the ground. And so when what was in Jesus touched the dust, that creator, and he put it on his eyes, it was transformed into new eyes. It finished. It became a finished work. You like that, John? It became, you know, like his eyes probably weren't completely formed since he was born blind. And so Jesus just added to it and finished what needed to be there, and it was transformed. So the mud and all of that was transformed into the finished part. Turn with me over to Mark chapter 8. I like this one even better. In Mark chapter 8, I think it's Mark, yeah. So in verse 22, Mark chapter 8, verse 22, he came to Bethsaida and they brought a blind man to him. And they besought that he would touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, this is even better. I mean, this is like this guy is just waiting to be healed, waiting for whatever's come. And all of a sudden he just feels something hit his eyes. Like, is it raining? What's going on here? You know, like, or either he heard the spit and it's like, surely that just didn't happen. I mean, I think it's also funny that Jesus really just did this to blind people. They never saw it coming. So, and when he had spit on his eyes, check this out, he put his hands on him. He asked if he saw anything. He looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that, he put his hands upon him, his eyes again, and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Again, that which was in what Jesus had affected, finished, created healing in his eyes. He came in contact with the Creator. He came in contact with Jesus, and he was transformed. Now, let's take all of that, and let's go to Romans chapter 8. Because I want to talk to you a little bit about how this transformation takes place for the life of the believer. Because here's the truth of the matter. We all, as children of the Most High God, we have come into contact with the Creator. We have come into contact. We are joined together with Jesus Christ. The Bible says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Okay? And it's talking about us being changed from glory to glory into that image. And so there's a change that is going on, and it starts in my born-again spirit, my perfect spirit, my complete spirit. And the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, you are complete in him. He's talking about what's true about your born-again spirit. But now allowing the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you to be a river of life to the rest of your body, to the rest of your life. Rivers flowing in and through you. And so it works like this. Look at verse 11. And by the way, Romans chapter 8 is talking about your life in the spirit versus the life in the flesh. As a matter of fact, he makes this bold statement because he goes on in verse 5. He says, for they that are after the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit are the things of the spirit. And so what we've done here is we've mixed some things up. And so I need to lay some foundation because I'm about to, Neil and Tammy, y'all just going to have to hold with me because I'm going to mess with your theology again. Okay. So I do this to you guys all the time, because what we have looked at here and traditionally talked about out of Romans chapter 8 is we've talked about, to be fleshly minded is going to produce death in your life. But to be spirit minded is going to produce life and peace. And he talks about that. And so let's just make sure that we're not following after the flesh, but let's make sure that we're following after spirit. And all of that's good. But what that does is it's saying that we're in a place that we're making choices of which one that we're going to follow. And sometimes we follow after the flesh and sometimes we follow after the spirit, and it's a struggle. The struggle is real, right? It's a struggle, but guys, let me encourage you just to follow after the spirit. It's not what he's saying. What he's saying here is they that are born after the flesh is really what he's talking about here. They that were born, and I'll prove it to you in just a moment. They that are born, those before you're born again, those that are born after the flesh, what do? They live after the flesh. Those that are born out of the Spirit, their nature now is to live after the Spirit. He's not talking about this struggle that we have. He's talking about what is true about you. For to be carnally minded is death. So those that are born after the flesh and they live after the flesh, they're experiencing death in their life. But to be spiritually minded, but to have that kind of nature on the inside of you and to live that way is life and peace. And the reason why the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, those that when you weren't born again, you were an enemy to God. That's what Ephesians chapter 2 says, when we were enemies to God. Now, I think that's Romans chapter 5. But to be spiritual, but for it's not subject to the law, the flesh mind is not subject to the law of God. And look at this, neither indeed can be. You could not, before you were born again, be subject to the law of God. But if you read this as if it applies to you today, then you've got to say, well, then that means that my mind can't be subject to God today. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You can't do it. Now, we're not talking about one day when you decide, I'm just going to live fleshly today as a carnal Christian or whatever, then God's not pleased with me. It's not what he's talking about. He's saying that you cannot, out of your own self effort And before you're born again, you can never bring yourself into a place that God is pleased with you. You can never become righteous by what you do, because because you live after the flesh. Your spirit is not born again. Now check this out. Look at verse 9. 9, he seals the deal right here. But you are not in the flesh. How more clear can you be? But you are in the Spirit. Do you understand how we've kind of messed this thing up? You know, and we've applied so many scripture to us that doesn't apply to us. I'm no longer born after the flesh. I'm born again. I'm born after the Spirit. And so he makes a definite statement of fact about me, that I'm not in the flesh. Amen. That's not my nature now. Right. I have been born in the Spirit. That's my nature now. Yeah. Which means everything that he just described is about me and the way I live, that now I live after the Spirit. I have the nature of the Spirit, and that produces life and peace. And I stop trying to see myself according to an old way of living. And so I stopped trying to look at now that, well, you know, I've got the characteristics and I'm acting like my father. And I stopped. No, because now my identity isn't based on what I was born after the flesh. I've got a different nature on the inside of me. And so I've got to start believing this. And a lot of people say, well, yeah, but what do we do about the flesh? And how do we, you know, and what about carnal Christians and all that? I'll deal with that next week. We'll deal with that. But in this context, it's not what he's talking about. He's talking about your new nature. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, then he's not his. So if Christ is in you, your body is now dead because of sin, but the Spirit now is alive because of righteousness that already exists on the inside of you. So now here's the key. Here's the key to the whole deal. Verse 11. This is where I've been wanting to try to get to all night long. And I quote this scripture a lot, but I wanted you to see in the context of the process of change. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, what did we say? Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he that raised up Christ from the dead will also quicken or give life to your fleshly body, your mortal body, if so be that this, or it says, by his Spirit that dwells. And so the life now comes, and this is healing. This is healing. This is the way healing should happen for a born-again believer. We thank God for the elders to lay hands on the sick. We thank God, but too many Christians come up to the prayer line because they don't understand how Jesus wants to heal them from the inside out. That you have a river of life right now that is on the inside of you, rivers of living water that is just waiting for you to tap into and just to believe that this is who I am. This is who I am. And so when thoughts of, let's talk about hereditary disease. For instance, somebody talked to me today about, I think, having high cholesterol or something like that, that may have came down from his mother's side. You know, and so, you know, like, this person knows what the word says, you know, and the things that we say, you know, well, you know, I'm not defined by what my mother, you know, and that. But how do you really kind of apply this? Here's the deal. Instead of just saying, well, that doesn't belong to me, I just start saying, Father, thank you. Father, I thank you that out of my belly flows rivers of living water. Father, I thank you that as I look to Jesus and I see him, I am being changed into that same image. My job is to believe on Jesus Christ. He that believes on me, out of his belly will flow. My job is to believe on him. As we look, 2 Corinthians 3:18, as we behold him with open face, as in a mirror, as I see him, as I look to him, it says I'm changed. I'm changed as I look by the Spirit. As I see him and I see who he's created, because that's the image, that's who I am, that's who's on the inside of me. Now the Spirit of God, because I'm looking at the right thing, I'm thinking the right thing, I'm speaking the right thing, now what happens is the Spirit of God is released from my spirit, man, through my heart, to begin to do its work in my emotions, to do its work in my body. And so what happens, that same Spirit that changed water into wine, that deformed eyes back into wholeness and all of that, it begins to work in those areas of my DNA. So I don't care if there was a disease that was passed down. I don't care if I was born with a disability. I don't care that all of that came down as a result of sin and everything that's been in the world. What the Spirit of God does is he starts ministering life to my DNA. He starts ministering life to my blood cells. He starts ministering the truth of the finished work of Jesus Christ and begins to just surgically go in there and start removing out of those pieces that aren't of him. Those pieces that came down as a result of sin, as a result of sickness, as a result of death being over humanity. And he just starts taking it out of each one of those cells, of each area of my tissue, of each organ. And he just starts working in. And only that part, glory to God, only that part that is just of him is the only thing that can remain in my body. He's doing a work. I'm looking to him. I'm seeing rivers just flow. Revelations chapter 22 talks about out of the throne of God, there's this river and it flows right down. And remember, we're seated in heavenly places. We're seated in Christ, right there at the throne room of God. And it says, as that river is flowing, that there's a tree of life on every side, and the leaves and the fruits for the healing of the nations. And that river is just flowing and it's providing healing. And now you see this picture, and so I visualize it this way. I stop being defined now by my natural heritage. But I understand that the doctors may find something, or they may see something, or they may try to say that, well, you've got this or this because of this. And what I'm saying is, you know, that may be a fact to you, doctor, but you know what? I'm going to look to Jesus, because that's what's true. And the Spirit of God is changing all of that. I'm telling you that right now, the Spirit of God is flowing. Some of you have dealt with things. Some of you have wondered about your healing and where is it and why has it not happened as fast as I wanted to. Listen. There's a flow. The Spirit of God is doing all of that. It can happen in an instant. It can happen over time. And that's not. I wouldn't even worry about that. We get so hung up on the time of the process that we stop being changed from glory to glory. We allow what we're seeing, get a hold of this. We allow that what we're feeling, and we allow that to capture our attention. And so the moment that we allow that to capture our attention and that has our focus, we have just moved our focus off of Jesus. And we've really, in that moment, stopped the flow of that river from being able to work, at least for a moment, until we get our attention back on him. Oh, yes. Father, I thank you that I'm whole. Father, I thank you. Now keep working, keep flowing. Spirit of God, rivers of living water. You know, when we went on the men's fishing trip, Greg told us, you know, and we had prayed for Greg here and for his shoulder. And so this is what I love about the body of Christ. You can come together, You know, and you don't have to try to fake it and pretend and all that kind of stuff. No, be real. Be very authentic about these things. You know, either God's going to do what he said he's going to do, or he does, you know, or he doesn't, or whatever. But let's not try to pretend or fake it. Or, you know, if somebody doesn't get healed, you know what? That's not a disappointment to me. That just means that there's areas for me to continue to grow in the knowledge of God. Jesus grew. He says, my Father's going to show me greater works than these. So he started at one place on the works that he did, but then waited for the Father to reveal greater works. So he grew in his ministry as well. That's over in John chapter 5 for you that want to look it up. So I don't get disappointed. I used to, because I felt like it was up to me. I felt like, oh man, I'm the man of God. I prayed. I didn't have enough faith. I stopped doing that because, number one, I'm not the healer. Never was, never will be. Jesus is the healer. And my faith is in him and my trust is in him. And all I'm commanded to do is to believe on him and then lay hands on the sick. And I'll do that. And I know that I'm growing in these things. And so we've seen increase and we've seen more and more people healed. But anyway, so Greg gets prayed for, but he let us know that he was scheduled to have surgery. I guess it was a week ago, Tuesday, yesterday. And, you know, and so we all gathered around together, us men, and we prayed for him. We laid hands on him. And, you know, out of that, I said, Greg, you know, this is just what I saw when we were praying. I said, I just saw it's like the Spirit of God was surgically working in that shoulder area and starting to repair. It's like it was an ongoing process. And Brad Holloman said, yeah, what I saw, and he was describing something very similar. It's like little nanobots or something like that was going in there and doing work. We just kind of had this vision of it. Well, I said, so you just do. I said, but do what you're comfortable with, you know, and if you want to continue on with the surgery or whatever, that's fine. But we'll believe that once they get in there that, you know, that they're going to find it's not what they thought it was. So he goes in Tuesday a week ago, Dr. Lemack, if y'all know the name, he's done a lot of shoulder surgeries. He's been around for a while. And so he went in there and came out, and Marnie, his wife, called me afterwards, and what he said is, you know, we expect with this injury that there to be this damage, you know, the further that we go in and stuff. He said it this way, but it's like this, it's the darndest thing. We got in there and there wasn't any damage. Like only the tendon had separated. Am I telling this right? The tendon had just peeled back and that's all there was to it. But there's always, he said, I think I've never seen this. Am I right about this? I've never, in all the years that I've done this, I've never seen this before. We're usually always having to repair more damage than this. And so all they did is they just tacked that little thing back where it needed to go. Boom, done. Spirit of God was already giving life, already working it, already mending it all together, already. I mean, isn't that the most amazing thing? What an amazing testimony. We thank God for doctors. Thank God for what they're able to do. Thank God for science. They can only do so much, but Jesus can do it all. And so we love it when Jesus works together with the doctor, right? I mean, so that's fine. We believe and we trust, and there's great grace for that. But the Spirit of God, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. What about bad attitudes? What about bad characteristics? You know? I'm acting like my dad. I'm going to be like my dad. I'm going to be like my mom. What do you do about that? No, I have a new nature on the inside of me. What are you doing? You're washing, it's the washing, Ephesians 5, I think it is, says the washing of the water by the word. You're washing yourself. You're washing. You need to be brainwashed. Wash your brain with the word of God and what is true about you. And the moment that you start washing yourself with the Word of God and you're focusing on Jesus and you're looking to Him, now the Spirit of God is able to begin to do His work. And healing flows. Let's let healing flow for a few minutes tonight. Just let healing flow right now from the inside out. Healing flows. Healing flows right now. Glory to God. Glory to God. What about if you have a child or if you know somebody that they were born with a disability? Okay. Well, see what was lacking or what was there that shouldn't be there. The Spirit of God, healing flows, and it's beginning. And I'm just going to say this with regard to those things. Particularly to Mark that I know is watching right now. Jesus is the creator. Jesus is the healer. And the Spirit of God is flowing even now. And so, Mark, I'm just going to ask you to lay hands on your child. Thank you, Father. And just the very life of God that is on the inside of you, and the very rivers are going to just flow right into that young man. And there's a flow. And the doctors may say one thing about it. And they may think they know what the root cause is. And they may think that it's because of this or what. But I'm just going to say, you look to Jesus. And he's actually going to take care of some things that the doctors haven't identified. And so don't get too focused on what the doctors have said and counteracting that, as much as you get focused on Jesus and letting him take care of everything that pertains to your son. In Jesus' name, healing flows. Healing flows. It's a finished work. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, listen, if you're dealing with stuff, I'm not going to lay hands on you tonight. Okay? This is a holy moment. The Spirit of God right now, the best thing that you can do right now is connect with the Spirit of God and the Jesus and the Christ that is on the inside of you. It's the best thing that you can do. And allow those rivers of living water to begin just to flow into your mind. Flow into your emotions. Flow into your body right now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Some of you, maybe the way to do it is just to start praying in the Spirit. To start activating those rivers. Activating, letting it just flow. But you're receiving right now, receiving the healing waters of the Spirit of God as it comes into contact with your organs, with your cells. Kurabata singre mendish grabate le bokune indesh klebete gebrokto sungrande le bokuna nanamangedesh girebate idesh girebeke nemande ebrokto sungrande le bokune. Healing flows right now. Restoration of things that have been missing. Restoration of your body. Restoration of your energy. Restoration of things that sickness has robbed you from. Restoration right now in Jesus' name, as healing flows, as the rivers of healing right now are flowing. You're not having to work it up. You're not having to try to make something happen. We're looking at you, Jesus. Jesus, we see you perfectly formed in us. Spirit of God, we thank you that you're flowing and that you're changing us into that image. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Listen, right now, I'm telling you what you have been saddled with as far as hereditary diseases, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, heart disease, a tendency towards cancer, diabetes, all of that right now, the Spirit of God, if you'll just If you'll look to Him, let the Spirit of God just begin to minister right now to those areas. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. As you believe, the Spirit's able to flow. He that believes, not just on me, but into Jesus. Now all of a sudden you're in the ocean of the Spirit of God just flowing, flowing, flowing. Man, I just feel right now by the Spirit of God that some things, some strongholds, some things that, some thinking, some things that have bound you, some fears about your health, things that have been trying to kind of hold on at the cellular level has just all of a sudden has had to let go. The life of God has come in. And right now, the life of God, darkness can't stay where the light is. Darkness can't stay where the light is. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. That the same Spirit that was on Jesus to heal the blind, to set at liberty, that's the same Spirit that's on the inside of us. Thank you, Father. Healing flows, healing flows, healing flows right now. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, he said that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you would know what is the hope of his calling, but also that you would know what is the greatness of his power towards us who believe. Towards us who believe. What power? The same power that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That same power is now available to each one of us. That same power that raised, like none of us have been dead like Jesus was dead. And if the Spirit of God was able to do what it did in that lifeless body, that's the power that's working on the inside of you right now in Jesus' name. Working on the inside of you, working on the inside of you, working on the inside of you. Right now in Jesus' name, healing, healing, healing flows in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you. Can we just lift our hands right now? Father, we lift our hands to you and just thank you right now for healing that's flowing. You're the healer. Jesus, we, just by raising our hands, we're saying we're surrendering to you. We're surrendering to the new nature. We're surrendering to the Spirit of God flowing in and out of us right now, ministering to every area. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Man, how many of you experienced a change? How many of you really just experienced, just for that moment, experienced the flow of the Spirit of God in your life? Some of you maybe for the first time experienced something that you've never really experienced before. Stay in this place. Stay in this place. Every day. If you start dealing with wrong thoughts, yeah, it's not working, yeah, it's not, no, 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 no. What the Spirit is doing isn't something that can be seen. You believe in that. You keep the door of your heart open and believe in the truth of what we just read. I gave you a lot of scripture tonight. I gave you the truth of the Word of God tonight. Now believe what He has said. You keep that door open to the Spirit of God that is on the inside of you. And you watch as you start walking in the Spirit. You walk out what is true about your life in the Spirit. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? Freeze. Let's all freeze. No. Stand with me, please. Come on. Let's give Him praise. Let's just thank God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You're so good.